Hello, everyone. I am Coach Lizzie. Gotten on here just a minute or two early to get everything situated. Go ahead and rename myself. So, hi there. Welcome. This is our monthly life coaching call. That means that we are ready for anything. Basically, if there is anything on the table that you want to talk about, please raise your hand and let's get coached. So as we get started, I'm going to have Coach Ashley join us. She's going to be in the chat. Thank you, Coach Ashley, for your amazing help today. And also a quick reminder to place your chat to everyone so that everyone can see what you're writing in the chat. And of course, if you have any questions, you can just put them in the Q&A. And so real quick, as we get started here, like I said, I am Coach Lizzie. I am so delighted to be here. I said on my very first coaching call that it felt like Corinne was giving me the keys to the Ferrari. So I'm so grateful to be here. A little bit about me is I do private coaching for No BS, as well as you'll see me in Ask Coaches occasionally doing some Facebook stuff, like I did a Facebook Live today. I love, love, love doing private coaching, get a chance to talk with my clients. Little bit brief history about me. In 2020, I was in a bit of a sort of a kind of professional crisis. And so I hired a coach to help me figure out, like, what do I want to do with my coaching career, or rather my career. And it was my coach that helped me figure out that I wanted to be a life coach. And as I told my coach, I was like, I've always thought it was sort of a pretend job, but I think I would love it. And so I don't care. And I got to tell you, it's just amazing to be doing a role that feels so aligned with my strengths and gifts and purpose. And here's the best part. It's not about me. It's about helping you find the wisdom within yourself. That's the best part of life coaching, is all I got to do is help you figure out or draw out what's already within you. So I love that. So welcome, everyone. If you would like to be coached, please raise your hand. We've already got Jessica, who has raised her hand. So we're going to see what Jessica has to say. I'm so grateful for all of you for being here. For those of you in the United States, happy Thanksgiving week. For those of you elsewhere, I'm just so grateful that you're here. And we're bringing up Jessica whenever she gets a chance.
Hi there. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I needed this so much and I'm so grateful. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome, Jessica. Thank you for joining. I'm so glad to be here. What's on your mind today?
I have a situation that I think a lot of people can relate to. I know Thanksgiving is in a couple days and I am a divorced woman, but I am actually newly freshly broken up from a relationship in which I knew it was something that kind of had to move on from, but he was my support system in a lot of ways for a bigger issue in my life, which is my destructive narcissist alcoholic sister. And I am in a family where we're the only two children, and I know we've started our own families, and we're coming together on Thursday for a really nice Thanksgiving. Both of our parents almost nearly passed away this year. So it's a very special Thanksgiving, but there seems to be a pattern every year. And last night she majorly went on the attack to me for very silly things, and everything is just a concocted, made up story about her childhood. I mean, she's 43. I mean, it's pretty bad. And I know that this is not anything that I can control. I know I can only control me, but there have been so many incidents this year with her alcoholism, so much destruction, so much fear, and a lot of rumination from my mother. And it's just something that I don't know how to untangle myself from or cut the cord from. And it activates me so much. And I was standing strong for so long this summer after she almost got arrested and almost for assaulting her son in public. I mean, it was bad. Just crazy stuff. And I stood so strong. And then I eventually just fell and succumbed to the pressure. I ate over it. I was going on and off anxiety and depression medications myself. I mean, so I'm on better ground, but I'm really nervous and I don't know how to even sit in the same room with someone like this.
Okay. Thank you so much for bringing this up. I think that, you know, when you said it speaks to a lot of people, it speaks to me. I have a brother in a similar situation. So you've got Thanksgiving coming up. You're anticipating everybody being in the same room. Am I hearing that correctly?
Yes.
You've got you and your sister, as well as your parents who had health concerns. They almost died this year. What are you worried that will happen?
There is some tension between my sister and my parents. We were supposed to have a very nice family vacation, all of us with the grandchildren, to Italy this year, where my father's from, to celebrate my parents' 40th anniversary. And my parents kicked her off the trip because of her destructive behavior, rightfully so. And that turned into her brainwashing her children about how we didn't want them. But the fact of the matter is that trip was ruined for me too, because she couldn't come because of her choices. There's no accountability. There's no admitting that she's an alcoholic, even though she's been to treatment. And it's crazy making behavior. There's a lot of combat and aggression toward me specifically. And the only thing I can think in my mind is I can't even talk to her. I don't need to be angry, but I can't even talk to her. Okay. I can't say hello.
Okay. Okay. So let's envision this holiday is coming up. You know, she's going to be there. If you're expecting her to show up exactly as she has been in the past, she has shown you who she is, and you can expect that she's going to be who she is. How do you want to show up?
I want to show up with a regulated nervous system. So even if I appear calm and cool on the outside, that I'm not completely having a cortisol and adrenaline rush inside. I even talking about it, I can hear my voice shaking. Which then activates my anger. So then if I get angry, then we're just talking about me being angry. We're not talking about the antagonizing. So I want to show up just protective of my energy. I really do.
Okay. So I love how you said, I want to have a regulated nervous system. Have you had a chance to listen to Coach Kathy's call recently where she was talking about kind of how to work on that? Would you like me to talk through that at all?
Yeah, you could.
Amazing. So sometimes Corinne will talk about this, or Coach Kathy's talked about like placing your hand on your heart. And so really briefly, what's happening in your brain is when you get dysregulated, when you get triggered by your sister, your fight or flight system is engaging. And so that's putting all of your blood and your energy resources into your muscles, into your heart, so you can run away, which means you don't have resources in your like higher level thinking brain, because that's long-term, that's not immediate. And so you can't think your way out of a fight or flight response sometimes. And so if you want to have a regulated nervous system, you need to have some tools to help you ground yourself. One of the best ways to do so is just place your hand on your heart, take some deep breaths, and remind yourself, I'm safe. Would that actually feel true to you in that moment? Would you feel safe?
If I'm being honest, no. I do have a practice, and I follow Gabby Bernstein. I'm not sure if you're familiar with her. I had to turn to a lot of her meditations last night, which after doing like six or seven and doing a lot of breath work, I did feel better. You're right. You know, I think reminding, tapping and things like that. Because in that moment, it's almost like I feel so disconnected from my body, and my body's doing one thing and my mind is like saying, no, we're grateful. We're grateful. We're great. We're cool. You know?
Yeah. That's a really good point. When you talk about like kind of feeling very disconnected like that, that definitely is, you know, describing the situation that can happen. When I asked you, like, do you feel safe? Do you feel physically safe, with your sister in the room?
I feel physically safe. There have been, in the past, there have been instances where I'm not a violent person, but I've had like, oh my gosh, it's like when you're a child and you throw something at your sister. As adults, I wanted to throw something at her because she's so audacious. Now, I don't anticipate this Thanksgiving being like the past with the wine flowing because it doesn't anymore. But I think I bring up my breakup too because I don't have my that person by my side, that support system. So I feel so raw. You know, I feel like I have nobody to lean on, even though I know that's not true. She's the type of person where she's a therapist too. So she definitely thinks she's the smartest person in the room. And like I said, there's just a lot of antagonizing. So it's hard for me to shut up. And I almost feel like if I were to come in with a plan, I think that would be the best thing for me to do is just kind of shut up and be quiet, you know?
So I heard you say if I come in with a plan, what would that look like for you in terms of being able to help you feel like I am supporting myself since you mentioned your breakup, your support system, that person's not there. So how can your wiser self almost serve as your support system? And what would that plan look like for you in that moment of Thanksgiving?
I think having a mantra, like I am safe, maybe even like a disassociation, keeping myself busy with helping and doing dishes so that the children can spend time with her children, who they love, which is what it's about for me. And really just kind of keeping myself out of sight, you know?
And people may have people your in your family may have opinions on your behavior, and they're allowed. You are allowed to, just as you said, protect your energy and keep yourself safe. And if that means staying in the kitchen, you're allowed. And they can say whatever they want, and you're allowed to say, "This is me keeping myself safe." What's coming up for you right now?
I don't know how people live with this forever because this really does destroy families. And I just think about how this could be my last Thanksgiving with my parents, or any, it could be my last Thanksgiving. We don't know, right? And how productive is it to be such a hateful, raging, manipulative, crazy person? How do people get through this? How do people deal with people like this who they thought were going to be their best friend forever?
First, I really want to acknowledge and validate the hurt that you're feeling, the grief of the sister you thought you were going to have at this point in your life. Like that's a loss. I really want to honor that. And when you're ready, it can be helpful to remind yourself that what people say, what people do, their opinions, it says so much more about them than it does about me. And her actions say so much about her hangups, her issues, her mental makeup. And sometimes, and there are members in my family that, I have come to a place where like we're just not on the same page. And the story I tell myself is they don't have the capacity. They were not taught as a younger person how to love in a way that I would receive. And so it's not that they're evil. It's not that I'm needy. It's that they just don't have the capacity to show up in the way that would encourage a healthy relationship for us. And so it's not that your sister is wrong or bad or evil. She doesn't have the capacity to be the sister that you need. And it's not your fault either for wanting that. It's just everyone's doing their best, and we're all flawed. And you mentioned, this could be your last Christmas with your parents and so forth. Of course, it could be all of our last. Who knows? Sorry, you said Thanksgiving. To that end, again, going back to the original question of like, how do you want to show up, and what do you want to make this day about? Particularly if it's you and your parents, what do you really want to get out of this day?
The only thing I can think of is just protecting myself because I just feel emotionally unsafe. I feel like anything that I say or do is going to be used against me. And I know everyone's dealt with someone like that in their life. And I can only think of that. I can only think, like, how can I? It's almost like going into labor. Like, okay, I know I need to go, figure this out. We're going. And then at the end, the baby comes out. And then at the end of the night, I go home to my safe, warm bed with my sweet little boys, and I'm safe again until Christmas Eve or whatever.
So in the beginning, you mentioned because you're coming off of a breakup, that person is not necessarily the buffer, the protector. If you were to think of your future self, who is wise, she's lived through this, she's weathered it, she's like, girl, I got you. How could you bring your future self, like 25 years from now, in as sort of your mental, emotional protector for this holiday?
You know, the thing is, I am her. That's the thing. I am my future self that I wanted to be even a couple years ago. So
Wow.
I know that I can't win with that person, and I don't need to. I know better. I am wise. So I think I just kind of coached myself there a little bit, but I am her. And there's pretty much no navigating someone who's that unpredictable, but I can keep myself okay and know when to remove myself, I guess.
Wow. Yes, exactly. Is that you have that strength in yourself? You are your future self. Like you am her. You are her. You're getting so, I don't know if you can see, you're getting so many hearts from everybody in the chat that like you have your own back. You know how to keep yourself safe. And it's so easy to feel that fear. But when that fear comes up, remind yourself, redirect towards, I am my future self. I know how to keep myself safe, and I've got my own back.
Yeah, and I don't need to be anywhere that I don't feel safe. I have that right. I
Yeah.
can go for a walk or step outside, or I live down the street. I can get in my car and say I have to run home and grab something, take a minute.
Yeah.
I didn't
Yeah.
even think of that. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. How are you feeling now?
I feel a lot better. Thank you so much.
Thank
Like I said, I don't have that person to call anymore, and I'm like leaning on my accountability group, who is so wonderful. Shout out Jen, Nicole, and Deb, and my other support system, which are my wonderful friends. But it's hard when you don't have that person there to validate you. I mean, my mom is great, but that's her daughter too, and it's hard for her. And I'm just sick. I just couldn't be the strong one. You know, I was the strong one for my poor parents for so long with this, but I have my
Yeah.
limits too.
Yeah. And I want to encourage you as well, like if shit's going down on Thursday, like pop it up in the Facebook group, pop it up in the accountability group and just be like, "Girls, you would not believe, 'cause we got your back." And that's what's so amazing about this No BS community is that we are here for each other. We are the family we choose.
Thank you.
You're
Thank you so
welcome.
much.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for you to come up and I know that you've helped a lot of other people for being open to share. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks. Bye. Okay, Jessica, thank you so much for coming up and chatting with me. Whew. Wendy, got you coming on up next. It can be really tough when we've got a family member that we'll just say it's a little special. All of us have that. And, as a resource, Corinne just recently did a Wednesday call on the family assholes, which I re-listened to today. It was on fire. So that's always something you can refer back to as well. So, hey, Wendy, I see that you're muted, but when you get a chance, unmute. So nice to see you. Welcome.
Hey, nice to see you too. Thank you so much. This is my first time being coached at No BS, so thank you.
Oh my gosh, what a gift. Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Thank you. Okay, I came to No BS with like massive diet trauma since I have been 13 years old, up and down, like just massive diet trauma, and I am super resistant on making a plan. And so I kind of just wanted to work through that. It really stresses me out. I don't seem to be able to stick to them. And I just do a lot of mental gymnastics. I'm going constantly on and off programs, on and off diets. It's just been that way my whole life. It's a very negative pattern. I'd really like to break it and be at peace, but I'm terrified of gaining more weight. I just have a lot of diet trauma.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not alone. I know a lot of us identify with that. So I'm curious, Wendy, when you said I'm really resistant to planning, I'd love to kind of just get curious about that resistance. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Resistant to planning. It's like, I guess I don't want to get too diety, too restrictive, or then too permissive, and gain weight. And then, so that's the first step. I guess that's the first thing that happens. I don't seem to follow through on what I plan. And like in the morning, I'm not, I don't mean to be bratty. I just like, sometimes I'm not 100% sure what I'm going to eat that day. So then I feel like I'm like locked into something, and then I get rebellious. That a lot of that goes on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So first thing, we can just recognize that resistance is not wrong. It's not bad. It's not something to demonize. It's part of your psyche trying to protect you. And so like, there's a really positive sort of source for that resistance. So we, you know, first of all, we can kind of soften to it. Like this resistance is here for a reason that is trying to protect me. Like you said, you've got a lot of diet history and issues and so forth. And so there's probably good reason why, you know, part of your psyche is like, let's protect at all costs. You know, making the plan is just, it sounds like a diet, and diets, you know, are the worst. So before I move on, like, how does that land for you?
That sounds completely right. And I think a lot of my on and off plans too is resistance and fear. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wonder, how would it feel to relabel resistance as protection?
Oh, yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah. And that protection is really well-meaning. But perhaps maybe misinformed. Maybe it's just a little bit jaded from the past. And so it's, you know, again, it's not wrong. It's just, maybe we could kind of tiptoe our way into a plan that feels safe. So this is kind of going from diets not safe to what does feel safe. So it's interesting. I also heard you say, you know, when I make a plan, I don't want it to be too restrictive, but then I don't want to be too permissive, which kind of almost sounds like Goldilocks a little bit. Like, I don't want to be too strict, but I don't want to be too easy. I just want to be just right.
Mm-hmm.
So what would that look like for you?
That's a good question. I mean, that's where I've sort of gone on and off with no BS, because I haven't found the sweet spot where I can lose weight and still kind of eat what I want. I haven't been able to do that yet. So I'm not quite sure like how much I can allow myself to have the treats or things that I normally wouldn't allow myself on like a traditional diet, like, you know, or whatever. I was on 2B mindset, and that's like no carbs at night. So I didn't do that for a while. I did lose weight. Now I realized that didn't work for me. I gained it back, but like, how can I lose weight still having a couple carbs at night without pushing over into the edge of not losing weight? That kind of stuff.
Okay. What would happen if you planned in some, you know, quote unquote, like foods that I want, treats, as I heard you say?
Then there's my rebellious side. I'll be like, sweet, let's do it. And then maybe not lose weight. So that's where I constantly flip-flop between like the rebellious person and then the like really rigid person. I kind of want to be in the middle, and I'm having a hard time finding the middle.
Okay. One last question about that is, if you were to plan the treats, let's say you had like, you know, two cookies after dinner.
Yeah.
Does the rebel allow you to have two cookies and you're like, that was great? Or is it, no, we're having 18.
Hmm. Mostly, I think two would be very reasonable. That sounds reasonable to me. And like that would be really good. Yeah, I think that if I was satisfied with the food I ate, I think I would be fine.
Mark, what's where are you not satisfied?
I'm probably not eating enough.
Oh, well, that's interesting. I could see why your rebel would rebel against that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I'm not eating enough. I don't know why that makes me cry, but like I'm probably not eating enough. And then I get too hungry and I binge.
Yeah. So, Wendy, would it be okay if I reflect back something I've heard you say a couple times in our conversation?
Sure. Yeah.
You've said something a couple of times with the flavor of, I'm terrified to gain weight.
Yeah.
How come?
Well, I mean, it's childhood stuff. When I was little and I gained weight, I was like a bad girl. My parents would weigh me. I was like forced to go on diets. It's just really bad. And I was like told that, like, my mom literally told me no one would love me if I was overweight at the weight I was when I was like a kid. Sorry. No, I started breaking down. But yeah, it's kind of, yeah. It's like, it's kind of, yeah, I was just told like no one would love me. I'm also single now. So it's like, you know, feeling attractive or unattractive, you know, it has a lot to that stuff.
Yeah. Thank you for being open and vulnerable and sharing that. And it's completely understandable, again, why part of your psyche would be terrified to gain weight, because the younger part of you was told you were bad if you were overweight.
Yeah, I was told I was bad. Like, I even have to see my mom at Thanksgiving, and I know she's going to, like, I gained, like, 5 pounds, and I know she's going to comment on it.
Yeah.
It's just how they are. My family's very, like, weight, fat-phobic people.
Yeah. And that brings up shame. You know, the morality of I'm good or I'm bad. If I feel like I am bad, that's, like, guilt is I did something bad. Shame is I am bad.
Yeah.
And that can be really hard. It makes us want to hide. It makes us want to restrict. And then when we restrict, we end up binging. And so all of this makes so much sense.
Yeah, so, it does.
We could talk about strategies for helping you make a plan, but all of that is going to be kind of surface and symptom level unless we address that shame, that girl who was told she was bad if she was overweight. Would you be willing to go with me into a self-compassion exercise?
Sure. Yeah.
So when we feel shame, shame makes us want to hide. And the way to kind of get out of that cycle is to offer yourself self-compassion. A really simple way to think about self-compassion is to imagine you were sitting across the table having coffee with a really good friend, and she was feeling the exact same things as you. She's saying, I am so worried about Thanksgiving because I put on 5 pounds and my mom's going to tell me I'm bad. And when I was little, I feel terrible. What would you tell your friend?
I say, like, honestly, I'd say, what's wrong with your mom? Like, that's insane.
Okay. Yeah. And so, like, that's like talking to a friend over coffee is sort of level one self-compassion. If you want to take it really deeper, you could imagine your child self.
Yeah.
At whatever age, you know, maybe five, six years old. And she comes in the room and she's got tears in her eyes. She's like, Mom just told me I was bad. And you, as your adult self, you get to say, how would you help her? What would you say to comfort younger you?
I mean, that little girl, I'd say, like, there's nothing wrong with you. Like, you're still figuring out your body. You're changing into a woman. Like, your body's changing. You're going to have ups and downs in your appetite and activity level. You know, your body's changing a lot. And, there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with you. I tell her, like, I could say now you're going to be up and down different weights as you go through your teen years, and it's okay. And you're probably very hungry when you're a little girl and you're growing and you're about to, you know, get your period. And it's all part of like the growing process. There's nothing, you're not doing anything wrong.
How would you comfort little Wendy, who says, but mom told me I'm bad?
I would say that eating or not eating or exercising or not exercising is not a moral issue. It's just your habits and how you're taking care of yourself. And if you want to feel, you know, you want to change your habits, that's fine, but it's not a moral issue. You're not a bad person because you're struggling with how to feed yourself as a little kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you wanted to, if little Wendy felt welcoming, like you could give her a hug, you could tell her it's all right. And just like you would say to your friend over coffee, just like I said to Jessica earlier, a lot of times what people say, a lot of times what moms say, says a whole lot more about them than it does about us.
Yeah.
And so it's quite possible that your mom, your parents, for whatever reason, like maybe the way they were raised, maybe, you know, some kind of biases, whatever, they want the best for you. And for whatever reason, they feel like the best, your happiest life is thin. And so they weren't capable of loving you in anybody. And so again, how would you help little Wendy know she is okay at any size?
I'd say just because your parents are messed up with this, for whatever reason, their backgrounds have made them messed up with this, does not mean there's anything wrong with you. Like they have problems. They've been conditioned by society or by their families to judge people or hate people in this way. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with you.
Yeah. I really want to thank you for having the courage to kind of do that self-compassion together. Yeah. And so as we kind of come out of that, you can recognize that the source of this resistance to planning is a source of protection, which comes all the way back to, I felt like I was bad for gaining weight. And if you can have compassion for yourself and say, it's not a morality issue, then we can open up and be like, I am loved, I am worthy, I'm enough because I exist. Then we can think about, okay, what kind of plan works for me or doesn't? How's that land for you?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, this goes so much deeper. So thank you. Like we hit it right away. Like me not wanting to plan is a lot more, there's a lot more going on. Thank you.
Yeah. And which is crazy because that's why diets are so messed up, because they're like, just make a plan. You're like, oh my gosh, there's so much more to it. Anyway,
yeah.
Minor soapboxer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. So Wendy, in terms of like the logistics and the tactics of making a plan that works for you, I would love for you to write into Ask Coaches. You can write it, you know, like Attention Lizzie, mm-hmm. and we can begin a conversation on customizing a system that works for you. But again, that kind of, all of it starts with that root of, you know, I am safe, I am worthy, I'm enough. It does not matter if I weigh X or Y, I'm not good or bad based on what I weigh or what I eat. And we can start from there and build on top of that solid foundation.
That sounds amazing. I would love to heal some of this. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Again, thank you so much for raising your hand and for being vulnerable. I know that your conversation has helped a ton of people. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks.
All righty. Gonna put her back to attendee. And we've got some other folks who have raised their hands. This is awesome. We got Toki coming up and Kathy is next. Coach Ashley is rocking it in the chat. Thank you, Coach Ashley. As Toki's coming on, I'm going to have some water here. It is so tough with all of our diet stuff from the past. Like, that's legit, for sure. And I always like to think of, like, diets are like telling the captain of the Titanic, like, yeah, don't worry about those icebergs. They're fine. You know, just watch out for the ones on top and you're good. And when, in fact, the Whoops, Toki, we got a screen share going on here. And we're gonna stop share. There we go. Toki, can you see me and hear me? I'd love for you to unmute and start your video. Here we go. Hi.
Hi. I have a little doggy on me. Sorry about that.
Well, hello. What's doggy's name?
Piggy.
Piggy, great. Welcome. It's so good to see you again, Toki. How are you?
Good. Sort of.
Sort Guess of. What's what going I on bought. Tonight? What's on your mind?
Guess what I bought today? Can you see these?
Not so much. We got a little bit of a backlight. Can you tell me what it is?
They are a Trio almonds from Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's almonds. Okay.
They're caramel coffee almonds, sesame honey almonds, and roasted and salted almonds. And they're my fave. They are
Sounds yummy.
My favorite. So okay. I picked these up today, and of course, diet mentality. What do? We look at the label.
Okay.
200 calories for a half a cup. My heart sunk. And I said, only a fourth of a cup is all I'm going to get? That is my favorite. What am I going to do without my almonds?
Okay.
But, you know, I'm going through a lot right now. I'm going to be losing my little girl here.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. So you want to talk about the almonds and the diet mentality, or do you want to talk about going through a lot? What's most prevalent?
Probably the diet mentality of only thinking I looked at the can, I go, I used to eat over a half of these in one sitting watching Netflix. I just go, I just shovel them in. I wouldn't even take a breath.
So I'd love to point out, a minute ago, you said, how am I, and I might not be saying exactly what you said, but something to the effect of, how am I going to cope without my almonds? Does that sound like what you said?
Yeah, because they're seasonal, and if I don't get them, I got one can. That's all I got. I was going to go buy six cans of them.
Well, I just want to point out.
I see that smile, Lizzie.
But you can buy as many cans as you want. I just want to point out that's a thought. Number one, how am I going to cope without my almonds? That's a thought. They're seasonal. That's a thought that kind of breeds some scarcity. So all of these are thoughts. And that, you know, our thoughts lead to feelings. So the thought of like, how am I going to cope, leads to a feeling of deprivation, which is going to lead to the action potentially of restricting or binging. You know, if they're seasonal, then it might be like, well, I got to get them all right now. So let's just be aware. Let's kind of bring to the surface the thoughts and kind of look at them with curiosity. We're always the scientist. Just say, how fascinating that my brain has offered me these thoughts.
Yeah.
If we neutralize things a little bit, if I was there with you and Piggy in your room and sit next to you with those almonds, and I say, you know what? I'm going to grab those almonds. I'm going to rip off that label. And I'm just, you can't see it. Like you didn't get a chance to see it before we brought it home. I'm going to say, Toki, these almonds are delicious. I think you're really going to enjoy them. But tell me how many of them would feel like enough? Like what would your body be satisfied with?
Well, as hungry as I was when I got home, probably 50.
50 almonds? Okay.
But I didn't eat that many.
Okay.
Because I had probably the diet mentality, like you eat 50 almonds, you're not going to be. I don't know how to say the word. You're not showing up for yourself. You're not going to be proud of yourself the next day for eating 50 almonds. You're going to be like, why did I eat that many?
Why would you be questioning yourself if 50 almonds was enough? Was the enough to be satisfied? You weren't full. You weren't overly full. Well, or is 50 a little more than full? Like what's coming up for you?
50 would probably be just comfortable. I'm sure of that because back in the day, I probably could eat 80 and just be stuffed, but I don't like that stuffed feeling. I don't want to feel like that anymore. I made a commitment to myself way before No BS. There's no more stuffing myself. And I have kept to that. There's no more binging on a bunch of food that isn't going to get me anywhere in life. I'm not going to feel good. I'm going to feel terrible. And my gut is going to hurt.
Well, that sounds like someone who's showing up for herself.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious as if 50 almonds is enough for your body to feel satisfied, it's not too full, why would there be thoughts tomorrow saying I didn't show up for myself?
I don't know, probably because I feel like I probably wonder if I gained a pound, or I would try not to think about that because I've been reading your book about scales and how we should measure ourselves by how we feel instead of a number, which is amazing. Yeah. Some of the stuff I wrote down, I was like just so into it because I've been struggling with my dog going to be having to be put down, and I just feel like I've had her for almost 14 years. I don't even really feel hungry. I just feel numb inside. I feel like I'm losing my best little doggy in the whole wide world. And I'm just hoping I can get through this. I don't even really want Thanksgiving. I'm sorry. I shouldn't even say that, but I don't even want to eat. I don't want to think about food. All I want to think about is her.
Your feelings are completely valid. You're allowed to feel whatever you feel. And if you feel like you don't want to have Thanksgiving, you're allowed to feel that. You don't have to push that away. But I'm wondering, Toki, you know, a minute ago, I asked you, do you want to talk about the diet mentality or do you want to talk about all the things? Does it seem like, is there any correlation between the desire to eat the nuts and sadness over knowing that you need to put your sweet doggy down?
Yeah. Big time.
And that's so understandable. Yeah. So you said you feel numb inside.
Yeah.
How do you want to feel?
The truth. I feel like a part of me is dying with her.
That's valid too.
My heart's breaking. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just a lot right now, and I'm just trying to I've been journaling because I know that writing things about her life and us having her, I was hoping maybe that would help me not feel so. I just felt hopeless and I just felt like nothing mattered anymore. Like my life doesn't matter because I don't have her. It's terrible to say, but I feel lost. I feel like when she's gone, when the vet comes here to put her down, because I don't want to take her to a clinic. So I had to schedule for the second to have her put down. And I'm trying really hard not to think about it, but it's weighing so heavy on my mind that if we hadn't had her for so long, I probably wouldn't feel like this. I don't know.
Well, Toki, there's a concept called the difference between clean pain and dirty pain. So clean pain is the normal, difficult things that humans experience, like the loss of a true loved one in your piggy there, in your sweet dog. That is grief. That is clean pain. And when I asked you earlier, how do you want to feel? Maybe you want to feel sad. That's a very natural emotion, and it's okay to allow yourself to feel sad. Dirty pain is the extra suffering we create on top of the original pain because of the story we tell ourselves. So potentially, you can decide, but potentially some dirty pain is being created by the story of, once she's gone, my life doesn't have meaning. That creates extra suffering for you. And so it's okay and natural and normal to feel that clean pain in the capacity that you feel able to, you know, to feel sad. And where you can, try and allow it to yourself to notice, where am I creating extra suffering based on the story? I'm so sad my dog is dying. And that's enough. I don't need to create a story around it.
I'll try to do that. I will really try. Yeah. I think the journaling has helped me some, but sometimes I feel like my heart's just breaking inside. It's just a pain that's... This dog just follows me everywhere. I mean, she's just like my guardian little angel, and I just got to work through this stuff. And my husband is trying to be as supportive as he can, but he's having a hard time too.
Yeah. I like to think that friends of all shapes and sizes come into our lives for a reason. And your sweet pup there has served and a beautiful purpose. She's lived an amazing life. And the two of you, your threads have weaved together in such a beautiful tapestry. And she's always with you. Yeah.
Well, one other thing, Leslie, I wanted to tell you, you know, they always tell you that you learn from your animals something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Before I got her, I had no patience with anything. Especially weight loss. Weight loss was the last thing I was going to be patient with. I either lose it now, or I have been so patient. I mean, I say it will come off when it comes off. I will be kind and good to me. I haven't been since no BS has helped me learn to start loving myself as best that I can. I mean, there's days, you know, where we just don't like ourselves that much, but that we're all human. We're all like that.
Yeah.
But to really try and love yourself through every thick and thin in life, and anybody that's had to lose a family member, which we all have, or a dog, we learn from them. We learned something, and I learned so much from her, to be patient and to be loving and to be loyal. They are the most loyal animals.
What a beautiful gift that she's given you to teach you to be patient with yourself, with weight loss, to love yourself, to love your body. I mean, if a dog can love you, maybe, you know, if a dog can love us, maybe we can love us too. Yeah.
Wow.
Toki, thank you for that beautiful message.
That's huge. Thank you, Lizzie.
Yeah. You're so welcome. And please reach out to all of us on Facebook. Go ahead.
I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. You have been an angel to me. You have so been there for me, and I so thank you. And just pray for me and my husband through this hard time.
That I absolutely will.
Okay.
Thank you, Toki. I'm grateful for you too. I'll be reaching out to you on Facebook, okay? All right. Sending you definitely blessings and hugs. You're getting all kinds of hearts here in the chat.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, everybody.
You're welcome. Sending you love.
Bye.
Well, it can be so tough when we are saying goodbye to a pet, family member. It can be a tough time of year. And along those lines, Kathy, we're bringing you up to for our last coaching. Coach Kathy is doing a call on Wednesday the 29th on grief. This time of year can be a difficult time of year. So if grief is something that's coming up for you, whether you're losing a pet like Toki, if you've had a family member, something, estrangement, check out our call on the 29th with Coach Kathy on grief. But speaking of a different Kathy, we've got Kathy here for coaching. Hi, so nice to meet you.
Hi. Thank you. Nice to see you too.
Thank you for being here. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I've been a member since 2019, and at the beginning I had quite a bit of success. I lost about 30 pounds during the pandemic, and then a lot of things happened that were outside of my control, and I just sort of started focusing on that, and then retried and tried to do the program again several times and failed, and it was always due to this sort of all or nothing mindset. So I have restarted the plan. I got an email from No BS saying we haven't seen you in a while, so that prompted me to get things going again, and I'm working my way through the No BS program again, and I've actually made a plan for the past 33 days, so I'm really proud of that piece. And the promise that I made to myself was that I was going to focus on locking down the four basics, not so that it's perfect, but so that I feel like I have a really good grasp, and it would lower like the amount of pressure I was putting on myself. And I weighed myself last week, and I didn't lose and I didn't gain. And I just noticed that I've been struggling a bit since that weigh, and I wasn't quite sure, but I think I connected it back to that. I'm just noticing that I'm giving myself a harder time. I'm questioning myself more. I'm saying, well, you're not filling out the whole sheet and you're not doing the whole assessment. And for right now, I just promised myself that I was going to do like just the meal plan and then, or the planning and the four basics. So I'm just noticing that I think there's some perfectionism creeping in, and I guess I'm not quite sure what to tell myself in those moments where I'm giving myself a hard time. And I wrote down some thoughts that I'm having too, like I'm going to fail again. If I include chips on my plan, I'm not going to lose weight. This isn't going to work. So I'm noticing that those things are there, and I think it's perfectionism creeping in, I'm thinking. So I just wanted to come in. I promised myself I would reach out if I started kind of feeling like I was going to derail. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm here.
Wow. Okay. Well, I really want to honor you and just like high fives all around that you're here. Like, thank so you. Amazing. I noticed that you said, so you lost 30 pounds and then some things were out of your control. I heard you say, I retried and I failed. Are you open to a reframe on that?
Yes.
So I don't think it's apocryphal. I think this is actually true, that Edison like failed 1,000 times to make the light bulb. And he said, I didn't fail to make the light bulb. I found 1,000 ways not to make a light bulb. And if he had given up on try number 998, we'd be in the dark.
Yes.
And what's also interesting about that too is like every quote unquote failure was a stepping stone. It wasn't like something to get through. It wasn't something to get over or like try and get past and forget. It was a required part of the process for him to learn from and be like, oh, that didn't work, so I'm going to try this new thing. The new thing didn't work, but it taught me something new. So I'm going to get closer and closer to the light bulb. And so what I might suggest to you is those times that you retried, you didn't fail. You learned, hey, that this method was an attempt, and I learned what didn't work for me, which is great news. because now I know what doesn't work. I can try something new that might work a little better. It might not totally get me to the results I want, but that's something I tell my private clients is like, everything we try is an experiment. There's no way to screw this up. If we try something and it works, great, we'll keep it. If we try something and it doesn't work, great, we'll tweak it. It's nice that it rhymes. But like, if you can teach yourself to look at things that feel like failure and be like, this wasn't a failure, this was learning. This is teaching me something about what didn't work, and now I'm smarter. That can shift your perspective.
Yes, and if I think back, if I'm honest, I was engaged in some restriction, and I think that really sort of derailed me. And I think right now I'm open to putting things on my plan that I would like, and not trying to group things as good or bad. So that is true. So that, and I've been on the plan for 33 days now. So I think that is something that I would have learned from the previous experiences for sure.
I love that. See, already it wasn't failure. You learned that restriction's not super, in line for you. And 33 days in a row now, you've got a method that's working better. Awesome.
So yeah, that was, I really want this to work.
it is working. And even when there are stumbles along the way, because I promise you, they're coming, expect them. They're not failure. They're learning. They're like, oh, I needed to relearn something. This happens to me all the time. Like I do something. I'm like, yep, I knew that already. I just needed a refresher on that lesson. And so it's okay. Okay. So you feel like, so you had a weigh-in that you were not up or down. You maintained for that weigh-in. And some of the thoughts were coming in of, I'm going to fail again. This isn't going to work. Okay. Hmm. What are you afraid of?
Oh, the first thought that came into my mind is, what if I put all this effort in and it's for nothing? Like, what if, because I really, like, I have some really big whys. Like, I want to be able to move with ease. I want to be able to engage in activities. I don't want to experience any illnesses related to excessive weight. So I feel like there's a lot riding on this. Like,
And when there feels like a lot riding on it, how does that feel like in your body?
Ugh, feels awful, like heavy and tension.
Yeah, feels intense. So it would make sense if part of your subconscious mind is, we're freaking out a little bit here because there's a lot riding on this. Like, don't screw it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What else could be true? What else is a different way to look at it?
I mean, I am figuring it out. Like, I am giving myself some, I'm approaching this with like smaller goals. Like, I'm trying to like get my four basics down. I'm not necessarily having to, like, I'm trying to just be like a basic, the bottom line. I think Corinne calls it the bottom line bitch or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's that part. I think I am figuring this out. I noticed that those thoughts were creeping in post weigh-in. So that's important. I made a note of those. I actually wrote them down in my planner.
Right. Look at that progress. Like, yeah. Even if the scale is a tool in your weight loss toolbox. It's just one of the tools. Mm-hmm. And it's just one way to measure progress. Another way to measure progress, you've mentioned several of them already, but one is you noticing your thoughts. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, 5 years ago, would you have even noticed the thoughts coming up of like, what if I fail? There's so much writing on this. Would you even have noticed that?
Probably not. Probably not.
So progress right there. There's another measurement of progress.
And now that I'm thinking about it, there's like, I'm not getting heartburn. I'm sleeping better. And I'm starting to feel better. So I guess there's that. I know it doesn't always have to be scale related. Like it can be non-scale related. But I think I was forgetting.
Go ahead.
I think I was forgetting about those things.
Yeah. And I would actually encourage you to have lots of metrics for success. The scale is just one, mm-hmm. but the scale is not always 100% totally within your control. There's a lot of things that can influence the scale going up or down a pound or two, whether like I had a salty dinner last night. I didn't get enough water. I need to have a bowel movement. All these kinds of things can make the scale go up and we're like, WTF, when that's not necessarily something that's totally within your control. Whereas I made a plan 33 days in a row. That's within your control. I did the four N's on my thought process. That's within your control. All of these other things, I went to Ask Coaches 3 times this week. Those are actions, tangible actions that are within your control. And those are other tools, other metrics of success that you can bank your progress on, that you can be like, all right, the scale didn't move this week, but look at these 8 other things that I did do that are within my control that I can help myself feel progress. Because hear me when I say this, feeling a sense of progress is the fuel that fires your engine of motivation.
Yes.
That's why celebrating your little wins is not just cute. It's not just nice to have. It is imperative, because when you celebrate little progress, that motivates you to do the next thing and the next thing. You can't wait until over the rainbow when you hit the number on the scale.
Okay, so like for today, for example, when I was at work and I had my plan, I had my snacks, and I noticed myself, sometimes I'm not sure if I'm hungry, and I know that like if I'm questioning it, then I'm probably not, but I was feeling a bit anxious. So I thought, okay, I'll just check back in. So I did that twice. I let a timer go by and I checked back in twice, and I still wanted to have some chips. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to have a few and see what happens. So I had some, but then that's when those thoughts come in of like, you know, I shouldn't include these. I'm not going to lose weight. This is, you know, I'm, if I keep doing this, it's not going to work. So what can I tell myself in that moment? Cause I know that those thoughts are not necessarily true. So what do I say? Like, how can I get back on track?
That's such a good question. Thank you for bringing that up. And one of my private clients said to me once something brilliant that I love. She's like, all thoughts are worth 1 point. And I loved that sort of imagery of like, okay, so the thought of I shouldn't have this, that's worth 1 point. The thought of, you know, who are the Dolphins playing next Sunday is worth 1 point. The thought of, you know, should I pack my sweater or my jacket for my trip is worth 1 point. Like they're all just a thought. We put a ton of weight into the, like, what if I fail? Those kinds of thoughts. What if they're all just worth the same weight? And if we could sort of depersonalize some of the thoughts that like, you shouldn't eat this, or I'm not going to lose weight. There are some specific tools. There's a technique called acceptance and commitment therapy that has a number of different tools under the umbrella of that technique. But one of them that's my favorite is to have a silly character say the thought in your mind. So I've had people tell me like Minnie Mouse or Cruella DeVille. My personal favorite is Ron Burgundy. So if I imagine Ron Burgundy saying to me, you know, you shouldn't eat that. And he's got his, you know, silly mustache and stuff. Yeah, exactly. You're smiling. You're laughing. I'm like, I can't take you seriously, dude. It just lightens up the thought. And you're like, it's just a thought. It's okay. It's worth 1 point. Like, what do I want to think on purpose? How's that land for you?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's like that one thought is no, like it doesn't have any more weight than any of the other fleeting thoughts that I'm having that I let go of.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's so normal that your brain would offer you those old thoughts and want to make them a really big deal. And when that happens, you can just, you know, imagine your silly character saying them to you and you're just like, oh, wait. It's just worth 1 point. It's all good.
Right.
Real quick. How do you feel about learning? Do you feel like you enjoy learning about yes. certain things?
Mm-hmm.
So I heard you say earlier, I'm figuring it out. And if you enjoy learning, what if this whole process of weight loss is a learning process? Whether you're learning to play piano, you're learning to sew, you're learning how to cook, You're learning how to lose weight. It is a skill that you can learn, and you're learning about the subject of you. What a fascinating story. What a fascinating thing to learn about. And then it's not so heavy of like, what if I screw this up? It's like, I'm just learning. I'm really good at learning. I'm figuring this out.
Yeah. How does that feel? I'm learning about me in this process.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you actually, I like that idea.
Would you say, does it feel true to you to say I'm good at learning the new things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that's true.
So when a negative thought comes along, a heavy thought of like, you know, what if I fail again? Your redirect is, I'm really good at learning new things, and I'm learning about me all the time.
I'm really good at learning new things. And I'm really good about learning about me.
Yeah, I can figure this out.
Okay.
And just like Edison, hopefully it won't take 1,000 tries. But I mean, I literally heard Corinne say, you know, if you lose weight and gain weight 7 times, I want you to do that. If the 8th time is the time that works.
Okay.
Like sometimes we just, you know, our brains need to be a little bit more ready each time. And so each time is not failing, is learning.
And can you just give me, as we close, like, can you just give me reassurance that me wanting to just work on those 4 basics and wanting to like practice that is enough for now? Like sometimes I forget that that is enough, that that is a big deal. And like I've heard Corinne say in the past, like, you know, set yourself a goal where you feel like if you do it, it would be insignificant. Like it wouldn't even matter, right? It's the doability factor. And I guess I'm needing some like feedback that, yes, this is like, this is enough for now. It's good enough for now.
Kathy, yes, it is so enough. You could do 2 of the 4 basics and that would be enough. You know, you've done 33 days in a row. I would encourage you to put less pressure on perfection and more, have higher expectations for consistency. So if you miss day 34, that's okay.
Okay.
Next day is like a, like, look at the cumulative number of days. It's not a streak. It's like a total count. So absolutely, the 4 basics is absolutely enough. If you just focused on, what am I going to eat today? I'm going to make a plan with my planning brain, and then I'm going to focus on enough. You're there. It's
okay.
You're there.
Yeah.
And anytime that you waver and you feel doubts, send a note in to Ask Coaches, and we'll build you right back up.
Okay. That sounds good. I like that, higher expectations for consistency versus perfection. I like that. That makes much more sense.
Amazing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kathy. And again, like, super kudos to you for coming here on a call and like showing up for yourself when you were like, I feel like I'm wavering a little bit. You're taking care of yourself by showing up here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, great. All right, everyone. Woo! Thank you for going a little bit over, Coach Ashley. I so appreciate you being here for a couple extra minutes. If your question didn't get answered, please go take us to Ask Coaches. For those of you who are celebrating Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving. For all of you, we are just so, so incredibly grateful. I'm pretty sure I speak for Ashley too when we say this is like the best job in the world. And we're so grateful for you and our NoBS community. Thank you for supporting us, for supporting each other. And we'll see you in the next call. Thanks so much.